Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When I was a kid, everybody know I'm a Kobe guy at the end of the day. Always been a Kobe guy. Been a Laker fan since day one. You know, you can't never say no about playing home, especially for playing, you know, for a historic team like the Lakers. So, you know, time will tell. We'll see where the cards fall. Until then, you know, I'll see what happens.
Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Who's, of course, the voice of DeMar DeRozan. Still a current Bull at the moment. We'll see, though. At some point, likely to be a former member of the Chicago Bulls. And forgive me, Tyler Butterball, what was the podcast that the Debo was on there so we can credit them accurately?
The Running Back Podcast.
The Running Back Podcast. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Tyler did inform me of that, and then I'm trying to multitask here, and I forgot the name of the podcast. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. 1 hour to go with you. And as a quick sidebar, one thing I'm multitasking about is because you may be aware, second year, that NASCAR has taken over the South Loop of Chicago and planning on heading out to the race tomorrow. So last year, the first year that NASCAR came here to take over our fair city, we went ahead and got out of town because the South Loop is where we've resided for over a decade now. And we've gotten a good sense for what this neighborhood can be like when big events are sort of taking the neighborhood over, especially if something huge is happening at Soldier Field. Like, you know, there's all kind of concerts, of course, that have been at Soldier Field over the years. But certain things have a little bit of a different temperature to them when they come to Soldier Field. Like, there's a lot of cool concerts that come by. But when the Grateful Dead, or Dead and Company, I guess they're called these days, when they are at Soldier Field, the neighborhood is just different. When Dead and Company shows up, you got folks sleeping in Grant Park. You know, you got folks just kind of wandering and meandering about the streets at all hours of the night. You know, they're all getting along. They're a lot of them are kind of, you know, tripping on something friendly when they seem to be out there doing that with the balloons and lights and whatever else they're doing. But the neighborhood is just different when Dead and Company shows up. When Beyonce has been at Soldier Field in the years that we've lived in this neighborhood, neighborhood's just a little different. When Beyonce is here, when Taylor Swift is here, when the big K-pop band or bands, plural, whichever ones they are, when the K-pop bands are at Soldier Field, the neighborhood is just different when that's going on. Certainly Lollapalooza, when that's going on in the neighborhood. It's just a different energy, a different sort of engagement, and the consistency of how the neighborhood gets not necessarily overwhelmed, but certainly impacted via vehicular traffic and foot traffic and all the crossing guards who they seem more overwhelmed than anybody. You know, they're the crossing guards out there trying to figure out should they move you with the light? Should they ignore the light? Are you ignoring them? Are they wasting time arguing with people in the crosswalk? Are they actually directing the vehicular traffic? It's a lot going on, man. You know, they're waving the wands. They're getting a good workout in sometimes. A lot of times they seem kind of disenchanted and disengaged by what they're doing out there too. But I get it. They're standing out there, especially this time of year. It's usually super hot. So it's not a gig I would want to do. But that being said, they are the ones being tasked with the gig that they have apparently agreed to do. So, you know, you'd like to see them be fairly engaged by it and on top of things. But it's a whole lot of vehicles moving, whole lot of people on the go. Everybody's more focused on getting where they need to go than they are on trying to keep the proper flow of traffic going. So when certain folks, certain things, certain events come to the South Loop of Chicago, it's got a different impact. And so we left town last year when NASCAR came to Chicago. We always make it a point to go out east, like I was talking to you about, you know, the other night. We go out east and we see my in-laws, you know, most times, every summer, pretty much. We get out there because that's where my wife is from. We made it a point to go on the 4th of July last year, which is a decision we would frequently enough make anyway. But when we found out NASCAR was coming to Chicago, we said, let's go ahead and get out of town because we could already see, you know, in the weeks leading into it, the grandstands coming up, the roads shutting down. And we just said, there's no need to be here for that. We'll take a look at it on TV. Chicago is an extremely gorgeous city, one of the most beautiful cities that we get to live here. We travel all over the world. There's very few cities on this planet that are as spectacular in their vista of the architecture and their skyline as Chicago. So, like, you know what, let's get out of town and we'll just look at it on TV. Weather wasn't great. Got rained out last year, had late start. Well, it didn't get rained out, but it had late starts and restarts and hit pause a few different times because of the weather and the rain last 4th of July weekend. Not expected to be the case this weekend. So there's a lot to look forward to, and we stayed in town. So, you know, we do plan on heading over there this weekend, and I'm looking forward to checking it out. We've been to open wheel racing before. My wife and I, years ago, we were living down south. We've lived in Atlanta. We've lived in Nashville when I was still playing ball. And we've been to some open wheel races in the south. And actually, we've been to the Indy 500, but we've never actually been to a stock car race. And so this event here that NASCAR is putting on for the second year in Chicago is this NASCAR street race. And it's got sort of a blend of its stock cars in more of an open wheel, on more of an open wheel sort of track. And it was kind of fun. Like right before they were shutting down Lakeshore Drive, DuSable Lakeshore yesterday, when we were coming in from the burbs, we were coming back into the city and they had Roosevelt shut down. So we couldn't take the usual exit we would take to go towards our spot. So then we had to keep going up north on Lakeshore, doing an illegal U-turn to come south on Lakeshore to head towards our home. And so my wife was explaining to our son, like, this is where the race car drivers are going to be driving when they're racing this weekend. And you're going to see Sue. We're looking at the, you know, the big poster of Sue off in the distance. You can see that on the Field Museum. Like, that's what's going to be on TV. So she was pointing that out to our son while we were driving. So I'm looking forward to, I don't know that we'll be there for the entire time, because I'm going to be back here on the station tomorrow as well from 11 until Cubs pregame. But we definitely are planning on making our way over to take in some of the NASCAR festivities. So that's going to be a good time. You know, everybody got through it okay. And with no surprise at all, the city looked gorgeous, looked spectacular on television last year, even in the midst of the rain. And that would be the case again this weekend. So there's a lot to look forward to in that regard with a very unique event in its second year in a row in Chicago. Got a lot of friends from NBC and in the NASCAR community who are there, who are excited about it. And we're going to go give it a look-see. So that's a part of the multitasking I was doing there, just to make sure we're all set for that this weekend. And I got some very good people in my life who are helping to get us set up to go check that out. So that is appreciated. But I did promise you we're going to talk some Bulls. And actually, in a few minutes, We're going to transition to some more Cubs talk, and we're going to combine Cubs talk with some Bears talk because one of my other friends in the industry, who is not necessarily a NASCAR guy, not at all a NASCAR guy, but he is a baseball and football announcer. So he was just in town. My guy Roxy Bernstein was just in town calling the Cubs game against Philadelphia 2 days ago. I suppose the last Cubs defeat before these back-to-back victories over the last 2 days. But he's called a number of Cubs games this season. He's had a lot of one-on-one time with Craig Counsell. He's been able to observe the Cubs at various points throughout this season. So look forward to talking to Roxy about that as he's called some Cubs games for ESPN and ESPN Radio. He was one of my old broadcast partners at the Pac-12 Network. He's called a bunch of Pac-12 football over the years. He has covered Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze throughout their collegiate careers. So there's going to be multiple aspects of the discussion I'll have with Roxy in a few minutes here. And we'll get back around to some more Bulls conversation. But where I want to go with this right now is the end of the time that DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are spending together here with the Chicago Bulls. And because it's been anticipated for so long, when some of the top newsmakers and newsbreakers in the industry, like Adrian Wojnarowski, are out here talking about it, then when that news gets reported, it's at some times, in some ways, you know, not necessarily met with sort of a resounding yawn, but this does feel like something that's been kind of a fait accompli for a little while. We've known this is coming for a bit here, and Woj was on ESPN a little bit earlier, and he was as definitive as he's been, not only about DeMar DeRozan's period on the end of the sentence for him with the Bulls, but also who is the team in the business that is most hot and heavy about trying to bring Debo to them.
Well, certainly, I think DeMar DeRozan has played his last game for the Chicago Bulls. The one team that's been dug in with him and trying to find a sign-and-trade scenario, the Sacramento Kings, you know, they've been talking this week, and you know, they're going to need a third team involved in a sign-and-trade. Chicago, while they certainly are willing to facilitate helping DeMar DeRozan get more than the mid-level exception on a team that doesn't have cap space, they don't want to take back contracts or certainly significant contracts. They'll need a third team to route a bigger salary to. But those conversations continue. And listen, I think there are some other scenarios for DeMar DeRozan, but I think Sacramento right now is the team to watch.
Now, that would be, depending on how exactly the deal played out, because the Bulls had an opportunity to make these moves, to make the move to move on, the decision to move on from DeMar DeRozan, the decision to move on from Zach LaVine, the decision to move on from sort of the core that hasn't really accomplished a whole lot together here over the last, let's call it, three seasons together in Chicago, with some of the anticipation, with some of the potential that this squad has had here. And so now that we see them, that all the main reporters, all the main newsbreakers have been saying, those at the top of the industry, that the Bulls have now decided, yes, they've gotten the okay from Jerry, and they're going to move on from some of the key talent, some of the lead talent on this roster, begin to tear things down to a certain extent and try to build it back up from there. The Sacramento Kings are an intriguing team in this regard because they've got a really interesting blend of youth and experience on their squad, you know, with guys like Harrison Barnes, who are on their team, who are one of the leaders on that squad. And then you have Keegan Murray, fellow Hawkeye, who's a young stud, who's made a lot of plays for Sacramento in recent years here. And Domantas Sabonis, who's a very veteran player, but, you know, still towards the peak of his game, towards the height of his powers, and playing at a really high level. But what can you get in return, as the Bulls are hoping to get younger? It'd be beyond what's likely to get the return of one of their key young figures for Sacramento. So it'd be silly for me to think that there's a chance that maybe a Keegan Murray could end up here in Chicago as a member of the Bulls, but maybe if you can package it in some way to get a player of a young player of that caliber, you know, someone who's now got multiple years at the NBA level, a guy who has showcased the ability to hit the three ball, to defend at a high level, and a maturity that was frankly part of the reason that some NBA draft evaluators kind of thought that maybe Keegan Murray was already at his ceiling as he left college, as he left the University of Iowa, and now we've seen him be excellent in the NBA as a finisher around the rim with length and athleticism. I think Sean Murray is a comp that I was discussing as he was coming out of the University of Iowa, and I feel like that's shown itself as a fairly accurate comp in the time he's been in the NBA so far. But there's a lot to like about his game, and if there were some way to be able to get a guy like Keegan Murray, if it were DeMar DeRozan, and you think about it, you know, you unload DeMar DeRozan and that contract, maybe there's some way where those two things can sort of be combined together to make it appetizing. As you unload Debo, you know, you're not asking Sacramento for their best player in that case, just the guy who's young and emerging on the roster here. What can you get in return? It wouldn't likely be Keegan Murray, but if there were some way where the Bulls could combine unloading DeRozan and his contract while bringing back a player, the talent of Keegan Murray, the potential of Keegan Murray, because he combines both aspects of what the Bulls could use. He's not only young and he's really good on both ends of the court, and he gives them perimeter shooting that they've lacked, but he's just also a really, really mature guy. And the maturity aspect of the roster has been good, but he's also ultra competitive. I just think he'd be a great talent for them to be willing to add, and the urge, the desire to bring in a guy like that should be there for the Bulls. And you wonder if there's a deal that can be there to pull off. What can AK and Eversley make happen to try and enhance this roster beyond just unloading guys like Alex Caruso and DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine? It's one thing to just get rid of them, because it feels like that's what a lot of the conversation has been, as we've been anticipating this stretch for a while now, in knowing that they're going to unload some of these older and expensive players. But the return on that transaction, you want something to be there in return for it. So that's where I get the hesitation for unloading DeRozan, unloading LaVine. Yeah, I mean, you're certainly not going to get an apples-to-apples trade. You're not going to get someone who's the ability or the production of any of these guys as you're unloading them. But, man, it'd be great to get something in return. You don't want to just feel like you're unloading them for nothing. You at least want some young, talented players with a ceiling that through development you can try to maximize. And that, to me, should be the focus of the Bulls. Can you get young, talented players with a ceiling of development that you hope to maximize? Now, we're not seeing a lot of evidence that the Bulls know how to maximize ceilings of development from any of the young guys we've seen here over the past decade plus. But that should be the focal point, in my opinion, for how the Bulls go about this thing to get youth, athleticism, shooting, and guys with traits that you would hope to be able to develop over a period of time, you know, as they are entering the prime of their careers. And maybe a guy like Keegan Murray could be someone who fits that bill. Now, he is a key piece for Sacramento, but Tyler just played that Woj sound for you. It sounds like the Kings are very hot and heavy about DeMar DeRozan. They want to figure out a way to make this happen. If it does take a three-team trade because of the money to make it happen, that's great. But to get something in return, whether it is a high draft pick, or if Kings aren't willing to unload a high draft pick, maybe a Keegan Murray would be a player that I would certainly individually feel great about getting a young guy of that talent who's ascending at this point in his career, that if they were able to find a way to get him in here to Chicago, that'd be a great move. That would be a great bargain. That would be a great transaction for Arturas Karnišević, and we just frankly haven't been able to say that too frequently in his time in managing the Bulls roster. Let's take a timeout. When I come back, get back into some Cubs talk, but also dovetail some Bears talk into that conversation as well, with a guy who's been covering some of the key talent and calling games for each of those squads here in recent seasons. My guy Roxy Bernstein joins me next on The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
About a half hour to go with you here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. The fun Friday on the 5th of July. I didn't realize I was on my my Big Ten radio show earlier this week, and we play the birthday game that we close each show with. And, you know, I think it was July 3rd. Yeah, it was July 3rd that our producer kind of reads off a few names of celebrities and, you know, we got to guess how old they are. Myself and my co-host end up kind of competing to see who can be closer in guessing the age. And I didn't realize that Tom Cruise was born on July 3rd. You know, I was going to make a Tom Cruise joke prior to that, just by the fact that July 4th was coming up. And we ended up having today off from Big Ten this morning on SiriusXM, Channel 372, shameless plug. But I didn't realize Tom Cruise was actually born on July 3rd. He ends up starring in a movie, Born on the 4th of July. Frankly, one of his best acting performances that he's given throughout his superstar, movie star career. I assume he must be the highest grossing actor of all time, you would imagine. But beyond all that, apparently born on July 3rd. Then ends up starring in Born on the 4th of July. That was a piece of information, kind of a fun Tom Cruise fact I wasn't as aware of at that point in time. But the birthday game is always a fun one to play at different points. I mentioned the fact that the NASCAR is coming to town here. One of the things that you know, we love to partake of in the neighborhood here is we just go on strolls. And when Lollapalooza is in town and different groups end up rolling through, then we get the opportunity. We can just kind of walk up the street from the neighborhood and kind of listen to some of the music from the outside in. But when you're with my next guest here, you don't necessarily have to just be on the outside listening in when you are eager to hear the music, because he always has a way to get in. He always knows somebody at some place to get us where we're going, whether it's for food, for music, for beverage, you name it. And guests join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, home of the world's largest sports book. As we go out to the hotline, I welcome in my guy, Roxy Bernstein of ESPN, formerly of the Pac-12 Network, of SiriusXM. You name it, Roxy has called it, Roxy has done it, and now he's with me on the hotline. What's happening, Rox?
Yes, good to talk to you.
Yeah, long time no talk, man. Long time no talk. Yeah. Roxy's been in town for a couple of days. He just made his way back home because he was here yesterday, as I mentioned, calling the Cubs' first of back-to-back victories that they got. It was closing out the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. And now, as the offense was explosive in yesterday's effort from the Cubs and Ian Happ with a couple of home runs and a career-high 6 ribbies in the game, now today the Cubs mount some more offense. And today, Seiya Suzuki goes deep, putting 2 on the board, and now 5 runs on the board. So the last 2 days, 15 runs from the Chicago Cubs offense. So, Rox, as you've called a few different Cubs games this season, is there something that stands out to you for when the Cubs offense has clicked well and why for such a long stretch of the season now it really hasn't?
This was an offense, Ant, that was, I think, expecting certainly more power than they've gotten, right? And Bellinger has been quiet with the home runs recently, and he's been in a spell now. He didn't homer today, but he's been getting hits, and he's been driving in some runs. But Cody Bellinger's homered, I think, twice in the last 49 games, and that is the longest span in his career with the fewest amount of home runs. And but he's not alone. And, like, Suzuki hits one today. Christopher Morel has given you some power, but he hasn't been consistent. The injuries, I think, have taken a toll with this team. And it just hasn't clicked yet for Craig Counsell and the Cubs this year. But here we are. They're still hovering on the wild card race. They have an opportunity to get healthy this weekend against the Angels, who are struggling. They got a great pitching performance today. Got a great one from Jameson Taillon yesterday. The starting pitching, as you know, has been the key for the Cubs this year. It's just the defense, I don't think, has lived up to what they were anticipating. The power and the offense hasn't been there, and the bullpen has some question marks, but the injury's there too.
And Craig Counsell can be a bit of a tough nut to crack, and you get to talk to him, you get to interact with him, especially when you're calling the Cubs games here. And the reference to sort of the power that lacked in the lineup, one of the topics around the city here in Chicago, even back to the offseason, was wondering, did management do enough to add power to the lineup? Also the bullpen, did the management do enough to add relievers who you could really count on to go out there every day and control the lineup after the starting pitchers would leave the game? Have you gotten the sense from Craig Counsell at all that there are any levels of, whether it would be frustration or even anticipation, that more help will be on the way, not necessarily via guys getting healthy, but from the outside looking in here with some transactions that might be on the way?
Well, I think they got to figure out, Ant, if they're in this race or not, right? That has to be number one. So for the front office, they need to figure out exactly where they stand, because in all likelihood, they're not going to make a run at the NL Central. But I think that they can view themselves in the wild card race. And when you look at the wild card, for example, there's so many teams, and that's the hard thing that's going to confuse some people as we approach the trade deadline, because even though the Cubs are only 5.5 back of third wild card spot in the National League, but you also have 6 teams in front of them that are also out of the third wild card spot, because, you know, you have the Padres are 1/2 game ahead of the Cardinals, who have the last wild card, the Diamondbacks 2.5 behind, the Mets are 2.5, the Giants are 3, you have the Reds, the Pirates, the Nats, and then the Cubs. And I think that's the job of the front office. Can they realistically view that we can make a push here? Because as we've seen, all it takes is getting into the tournament, right, at the end of the year, getting into the playoffs. That's the key. And for a team like the Diamondbacks last year, they got hot at the right time, went to the World Series. We saw it with the Phillies a couple of years ago. So just find a way in, but they have to realistically look at the wild card hunt. And are they in this race, or are they just kind of hovering in the race with so many teams in front of them right now?
Justin Steele went a complete game today. First career complete game for Steele in the Cubs win that they had in today's ball game. And Showtime, as I call Shota Imanaga, even though he didn't end up getting the win the other day because the offense didn't respond well for him. But you know, there's several starting pitchers here for the Cubs that are performing at an elite level. So the staff itself, from a starter's perspective, seems deep. There's a combination there, though, where you're wondering, now that we're into July, is this a time where Craig Counsell, where it seemed like to me earlier in the season, he was trying not to overtax the starters in the rotation and pull them from games, whether it's via pitch count or certain innings sort of limits that might have been placed on some of the starters. Now that we're into July, we see a complete game from Justin Steele. Is this a time where you anticipate Craig Counsell will continue to push and lean on those starters more than he did earlier in the season?
Well, I think you can count on them more now because here we are mid-season, right? Early in the year, you want to be guarded as far as the pitch count goes. But Steele goes the distance today. The pitch count was efficient. He only threw 95 pitches right. in the two-hitter. And they weren't stressful pitches, and you know, there really wasn't much pressure that the Angels put on the Cubs today. And it was, in a lot of ways, like the outing for Jameson Taillon yesterday, where he went seven innings, was efficient, and wasn't dealing with much traffic on the base paths, was consistently throwing strikes, getting ahead of hitters, and that's the key. And it's funny you mentioned the starting pitching, because yesterday, Ant, was the third Jameson Taillon start I've had this season. And in those three starts, Jameson Taillon is 3-0 with a 1.35 ERA. He's 24 strikeouts, just two walks in 20 innings. Has given up 12 hits, so Taillon may want to find a way to get me to the ballpark for his next start. Remember how, like, when Greg Maddux back in the day was pitching for the Braves and Charlie O'Brien was his personal catcher? Well, maybe there's some way that Taillon can figure out I could be his personal broadcaster because he has been lights out, and his best three outings this season have come when I've called the game for ESPN Radio.
We see a common refrain here. There's a thread. That
yeah,
really
you know.
Needs to, yeah, they got to keep pulling that thread.
And you know how superstitious baseball guys can be.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Roxy Bernstein, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You can find him on the X at Roxy Bernstein. He is of ESPN Radio. He's called several Cubs games this season. He is also been able to cover the careers of two of the new young studs for the Chicago Bears in his time calling Pac-12 football. He's one of my old broadcast partners from the Pac-12 Network. So I'd love to get your thoughts on both Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. Let's start with the Bears' number one overall pick at QB. This is the lull. This is the downtime before they report for training camp. Then we're going to get to witness it on Hard Knocks and everything else. But Caleb Williams, as a college quarterback, when he transferred in with Lincoln Riley, came from Oklahoma to USC, as you got to witness the Pac-12 version of Caleb Williams' career, what were your observations?
He is just a playmaker, and he just knows how to be successful offensively. And his athleticism, and like even if option one or option two are not available, he finds a way to keep plays alive, and he finds a way to get to his third and fourth target if the primary and secondary options aren't there. That's the most remarkable thing to me about him, is his playmaking ability. And I know when he advances to the NFL, he's going to have to learn a little bit more to live for another down. He can get away with it in college and string out plays, but it'll catch up with you in the NFL. But that's his playmaking ability is what jumps out above everything to me, is that athleticism, the high football IQ. It was a no-brainer for me that he was going to be the number one pick. I know people were high on some of the other quarterbacks, whether it's Daniels or May or whoever they wanted to look at. But he was just a level above everybody else. And I know people could nitpick about last season that the numbers dipped off from when he won the Heisman Trophy 2 years ago. But the team around him wasn't as good last year. And I think that hindered him a little bit, and he was a little bit banged up. But this is a winner, and I think that he is going to be a star in this league for years.
And the fact that he was able to win the Heisman after that first season at USC, and then we did witness him go through the struggles and the scrutiny from this past season. So part of the curiosity for a lot of Bears fans was essentially, how will he handle the level of scrutiny that comes with being the number one overall pick in a media market that is so starved and impassioned for having excellence at QB? And there were some times during that USC career where, you know, maybe he didn't show up for a media session after the game, and a lot got made of crying in the stands with his mom and those types of things. From a pressure perspective, if the Bears, who have become one of the hottest stories in the NFL going into this season, if there are some of those struggles with a rookie quarterback, how do you anticipate Caleb Williams to handle that?
I think he'll be fine. And as you know, playing quarterback at USC, you're in the spotlight. You're under the microscope. So it's not like this is going to be totally foreign to him. Mm-hmm. He is going to be ready for it. And being in a major media market like LA and stepping into Chicago, a lot of similarities there. Although he is going from college to the NFL. And it's funny how people want to nitpick, right? He came back for one more season at USC after winning the Heisman Trophy with ridiculous numbers as his first year at USC after coming over from Oklahoma. And the interesting thing about last year, even with some of the struggles that especially that USC had, his completion percentage went up last year. His efficiency was still there. And that's the two things that I think people will look at is, did he progress? Did he get better? I think he did get better despite USC's struggles last year because, Ant, as we know, he's not playing on the other side of the football. USC was a bad football team last year because of their defense. It wasn't because of Caleb Williams and the offense couldn't score. It was because they couldn't stop anybody last year. And that's been an issue for Lincoln Riley since he's been at USC, but you can't pin that on Caleb Williams. And I think Caleb Williams did everything in his power to give them the opportunity to win games. It wasn't his fault while USC struggled last year.
And with Roma Dunze also being a top 10 pick and the Bears getting not only their quarterback of choice at number one overall, but then the playmaker they were hoping would fall to them, and they pick up a Dunze as well. He seems like such a versatile playmaker, but what I really love about Roma Dunze's game is he showed a bunch of toughness as a wide receiver too. And there might be some assumptions about a Pac-12 receiver and what that means, but anybody who hasn't watched Roma Dunze, it seems like his toughness is something that Bears fans are really going to gravitate towards.
He's big and powerful, and he's a solid, probably 220 now,
right?
At 6'3". He's got the speed and the athleticism with that size and physicality, which you talked about. And he's got the ability to stretch the field. Guys that big usually aren't the deep threats, but he is. And he averaged almost 18 yards a catch last year, and he almost had 100 catches for Washington. The thing that stands out to me is his playmaking ability and the job that he does with the ball in the air. He's not afraid to get hit. He's not afraid to hang in there and make the play. And that's what you want from a number one receiver. And this guy has a number one receiver target written all over him because of all the attributes that he has. And he's got terrific hands. And this is, I think, a phenomenal combination the Bears are getting to bring in those two. And these are two cornerstones, I think, for a while that they're going to have. That Williams and Odunze, this is a core on offense you want to build around. Certainly we know it has to happen up front on the offensive line, but the way the NFL has changed the last 10 to 15 years, I think this dynamic combination is just what Chicago needs.
Before I let you run, Rox, you and I have gotten to break a lot of bread together. We've shared a bunch of meals.
Yes.
I put the question out to listeners a little bit earlier in the show, just in honor of Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And we got some good responses both on the phone line and the text line of what eating challenge listeners would dominate. Now, you've seen me in multiple
yes.
eating challenges, and you know I'm undefeated. But if it were on the other side, man, what would be the dish? What would be the food? What would you Ooh. Be most comfortable entering an eating challenge and trying to dominate?
First off, that Tucson Burger Challenge that you conquered is legendary.
The OMFG Burger Challenge.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, sir.
What was it, nine patties?
Nine, what, one-third of a pound burger patties each, something like
yeah.
that? Yeah.
12
yeah.
slices of cheese, I want to say,
oh,
and the bun and the
oh.
veggies on it. But the most incredible thing, after you polish that off within 20 minutes, then you went and had dessert. It's not like, okay, you went into a food coma and just laid there. You went and had this like big bowl of ice cream after you finish off that burger. That was the most incredible display maybe I've seen at a dinner table ever.
Well, the good thing was it was helpful that you and I walked back from dinner that night, just kind of
yes.
walked off some
yes.
of the calories. I walked off kind of my meat sweats, if you will. And then, yes, we went and had dessert that night. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. Go ahead. There's one thing. You know, it's funny, as much as I try in different towns that I want to hit, right? Whether, you know, like, for example, you and I grabbed deep dish pizza because we're in Chicago the other night.
Right.
It's just wherever I am, there's specific places I love to go. You know, I've got my Mexican place, as you're well aware of, in Salt Lake City, which is legendary.
Yep.
The Italian place that we go to in Eugene. And so, boy, it's if I had to pick, you know, and you know I'm a huge Chinese food fan.
Give me one, right?
Oh, boy. If I'm doing a challenge, maybe it's, you know what, maybe it's like ribs. That's what I'd want to do. How many ribs could I eat in one sitting? How many baby back ribs could I sit? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would just crush me. And then if I could accomplish half of what you eat, that would be winning for me.
And you're willing to get a little bit messier than I am when I eat. That's probably my main
kryptonite. That's true.
Spice.
That's the other thing is you're elegant when you eat, even with these challenges. There's an elegance to it. It's not like you just go diving in and make a mess out of yourself. It's not like John Candy from The Great Outdoors, right? You actually sit there and are meticulous about the way you go about it.
Yeah, the old 96er. As long as it was limitless time, I wouldn't have any issue. It's the time limit because I'm such a dainty eater. That's part of the problem. Rox, you are the best, my friend. Really appreciate you taking the time to join me. Can't wait till we break bread again.
You got it, Ann. Always great to see you.
Oh, that is my guy, Roxy Bernstein. Let's hope he gets an opportunity to call some more Cubs games this season because, like he mentioned, Jameson Taillon tends to dominate when Roxy's around, and he is one of the top announcers at ESPN. He's actually going to be, for the third year in a row, he's going to be part of their All-Star Weekend coverage as well. He's going to call the Home Run Derby for ESPN Radio. So when you hear that voice, you're going to know who the guy is that you are hearing on the other end of things. Speaking of the end, we are nearing the 6 o'clock hour here, so let me take my final time out and chop it up with you here. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's been a fun couple hours here since the Cubs game ended. We always love covering baseball, but especially here on The Score, as baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. T-Mobile.com/switch. Also, a simple way to listen to Mully and Hall. Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Follow 670 The Score in the Odyssey app and take us wherever you may go. I was telling you earlier, I'm planning on heading out to check out some of the NASCAR festivities tomorrow. And I'm going to be here with you on The Score tomorrow. So I'll be with you from 11 a.m. up until Cubs pregame. And then we're just going to circle the wagons a little bit here on the home front, head up the street. And by the time I get done, we should be able to get up there just in time for me to catch Buddy Guy, is apparently going to be on the DraftKings stage up the street. So that's something to look forward to. And that the races itself. Now, since we weren't here last year, you know, we heard throughout the day today some of the testing that's been going on, some of the cars that have been driving around. It can be a little bit difficult to tell the difference because frequently enough in our neighborhood, it kind of sounds like some folks are out there on a NASCAR test track, just with some of the folks, you know, doing their drifting and burning their tires and all of the stuff with the drag racing that goes on sometimes in these streets. But pretty sure today, in the middle of the day, what we were hearing were just some folks out there testing things out. You know, some folks out there on the track doing their warm-up, you know, getting all their specifications down for driving these Chicago streets for this street race. It's going to be taking place throughout the weekend. So we're going to go check that out tomorrow. But I'm excited to know that Buddy Guy isn't hitting the stage until 1:15. So that's going to give us some time to go up there and check that out. Black Keys are going to be out there as well. The race itself, there'll be plenty of racing that takes place tomorrow. And, of course, the NASCAR series is going to be out there on Sunday as well. So it's going to be a big weekend in Chicago in the midst of a bunch of just activities that always take place in the city throughout the summer months. But we decided to leave town last weekend, decided to stay in town this weekend. With the topic that I mentioned a little bit earlier, though, about the way that you know, the eating contest, and we tend to just on an annual basis, every July 4th, we pay the most attention to it. Got a bunch of great responses from that about that topic on the text line. The 206 says rib tips would be what they would dominate. And I got to admit, I left that out. I was talking about ribs earlier and just kind of full racks of ribs. But rib tips, the only issue with rib tips is that especially when you try to eat them fast, it can be really difficult to tell whether or not you're actually consuming the bone. You know, sometimes it's going to be like the muscle and the sinew. Sometimes it's going to be some tendons in there. You just know you're getting into some of that with rib tips. But every once in a while with certain edges of the bone, it's hard to tell whether or not, unless you actually kind of just take your time and really consume it in a way where you're really tracking what you're eating, it can be hard to tell sometimes whether or not you're actually eating the bone or not with rib tips, which usually I don't mind, but if you're trying to race your way through a plate or perhaps even a pan of rib tips in an eating contest, you know, that could be a little bit sketchy. So you got to make sure you're kind of paying attention when you're doing some of those things. Hard-boiled eggs, Cool Hand Luke style from the 773. That was one of the submissions on the text line about what they would attempt to eat in large quantities, what they feel like they would dominate in an eating challenge. McDonald's French fries was a submission from earlier in the show. And I got to admit, McDonald's French fries, where I actually did have some Wendy's French fries a little bit earlier. It does seem to me that Wendy's has come a long way with their French fries. Fries today were maybe a little bit saltier than I might have preferred, but I will say they were rather tasty. So I'm willing to submit and admit that French fries, especially of the McDonald's variety, would be something that could be consumed at high levels. The 847 says, I could eat 1,000 of those Ferrero Rocher chocolate balls. I've had a few of those. I actually think I got some in the bedroom, on the bedroom dresser. Not completely sure if I would do those in an eating challenge or how much I would dominate those, but they're there and available to eat in large quantities if you do so, you know, prefer to consume them in that way. Certainly not going to yuck your yum if that's what you're into. Mini tacos from the 229, whatever area code that is, the 229, mini tacos or something there. The very first time I won an eating challenge back in college, I did a burrito challenge. And I had several teammates who wanted to try and consume a certain number of burritos in a finite amount of time. I had two of them who weren't able to finish in the prescribed, I think it was a 10-minute window we did. They were Pancheros burritos. Anybody who's been to Iowa City and certain other pockets of the Midwest, you know all about that Pancheros life. I dominated the Pancheros burritos. That let me know I had something special cooking in the eating challenges. And since then, I've always been undefeated. Never lost. As they say, never lost.
Undefeated, never lost.
That's right. You tell them. That's our role when it comes down to the eating challenges. I hope you have continued to enjoy your dining experiences. The holiday weekend is just getting kicked off at this point. Last night was Thursday night. That was party night. But you know what happens when it gets to Friday in our fair city of Chicago. Stay safe. Be out there. Make sure you're enjoying everything that's here on this holiday weekend. I appreciate you sticking with me. I will be back on The Score tomorrow. My thanks to my guy, Roxy Bernstein. Thanks to my guy, Tyler Buteball, on the ones and twos. And thank you to all of you for listening in to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's not just another day. It's today. And maybe that's just another way of saying attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. But, it was a great day.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's been a fun couple hours here since the Cubs game ended. We always love covering baseball, but especially here on The Score, as baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/switch. T-mobile.com/switch. Also, a simple way to listen to Mully and Hall, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Follow 670 The Score in the Odyssey app and take us wherever you may go. I was telling you earlier, I'm planning on heading out to check out some of the NASCAR festivities tomorrow. And I'm going to be here with you on The Score tomorrow. So I'll be with you from 11 a.m. up until Cubs pregame. And then we're just going to circle the wagons a little bit here on the home front, head up the street. And by the time I get done, we should be able to get up there just in time for me to catch Buddy Guy, who's apparently going to be on the DraftKings stage up the street. So that's something to look forward to. And the races itself. Now, since we weren't here last year, you know, we heard throughout the day today some of the testing that's been going on, some of the cars that have been driving around. It can be a little bit difficult to tell the difference because frequently enough in our neighborhood, it kind of sounds like some folks are out there on a NASCAR test track, just with some of the folks, you know, doing their drifting and burning their tires and all of the stuff with the drag racing that goes on sometimes in these streets. But pretty sure today, in the middle of the day, what we were hearing were just some folks out there testing things out. You know, some folks out there on the track doing their warm-up, you know, getting all their specifications down for driving these Chicago streets for this street race. It's going to be taking place throughout the weekend. So we're going to go check that out tomorrow. But I'm excited to know that Buddy Guy isn't hitting the stage until 1:15. So that's going to give us some time to go up there and check that out. Black Keys are going to be out there as well. The race itself, there'll be plenty of racing that takes place tomorrow. And, of course, the NASCAR series is going to be out there on Sunday as well. So it's going to be a big weekend in Chicago in the midst of a bunch of just activities that always take place in the city throughout the summer months. But we decided to leave town last weekend, decided to stay in town this weekend. With the topic that I mentioned a little bit earlier, though, about the way that, the eating contest, we tend to just on an annual basis, every July 4th, we pay the most attention to it. Got a bunch of great responses from that about that topic on the text line. The 206 says rib tips would be what they would dominate. And I got to admit, I left that out. I was talking about ribs earlier. It's just kind of full racks of ribs. But rib tips, the only issue with rib tips is that especially when you try to eat them fast, it can be really difficult to tell whether or not you're actually consuming the bone. You know, sometimes it's going to be like the muscle and the sinew. Sometimes it's going to be some tendons in there. You just know you're getting into some of that with rib tips. But every once in a while with certain edges of the bone, It's hard to tell whether or not, unless you actually kind of just take your time and really consume it in a way where you're really tracking what you're eating, it can be hard to tell sometimes whether or not you're actually eating the bone or not with rib tips, which usually I don't mind, but if you're trying to race your way through a plate or perhaps even a pan of rib tips in an eating contest, you know, that could be a little bit sketchy. So you got to make sure you're kind of paying attention when you're doing some of those things. Hard-boiled eggs, Cool Hand Luke style, from the 773. That was one of the submissions on the text line about what they would attempt to eat in large quantities, what they feel like they would dominate in an eating challenge. McDonald's French fries was a submission from earlier in the show. And I got to admit, McDonald's French fries, where I actually did have some Wendy's French fries a little bit earlier. It does seem to me that Wendy's has come a long way with their French fries. Fries today were maybe a little bit saltier than I might have preferred, but I will say they were rather tasty. So I'm willing to submit and admit that French fries, especially of the McDonald's variety, would be something that could be consumed at high levels. The 847 says, I could eat 1,000 of those Ferrero Rocher chocolate balls. I've had a few of those. I actually think I got some in the bedroom, on the bedroom dresser. Not completely sure if I would do those in an eating challenge or how much I would dominate those, but they're there and available to eat in large quantities if you do so, you know, prefer to consume them in that way. Certainly not going to yuck your yum if that's what you're into. Mini tacos from the 229, whatever area code that is, the 229, mini tacos or something there. The very first time I won an eating challenge back in college, I did a burrito challenge. And I had several teammates who wanted to try and consume a certain number of burritos in a finite amount of time. I had two of them who weren't able to finish in the prescribed, I think it was a 10-minute window we did. They were Pancheros burritos. Anybody who's been to Iowa City and certain other pockets of the Midwest, you know all about that Pancheros life. I dominated the Pancheros burritos. That let me know I had something special cooking in the eating challenges. And since then, I've always been undefeated. Never lost. As they say, never lost.
Undefeated, never lost.
That's right, you tell them. That's our role when it comes down to the eating challenges. I hope you have continued to enjoy your dining experiences. The holiday weekend is just getting kicked off at this point. Last night was Thursday night, that was party night, but you know what happens when it gets to Friday in our fair city of Chicago. Stay safe, be out there. Make sure you're enjoying everything that's here on this holiday weekend. I appreciate you sticking with me. I will be back on The Score tomorrow. My thanks to my guy, Roxy Bernstein. Thanks to my guy, Tyler Buteball, on the ones and twos. And thank you to all of you for listening in to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's not just another day. It's today. And maybe that's just another way of saying attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. But, it was a great day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.